Good afternoon, farm news here on the Red River Farm Network on this Monday, February 18th. I'm Kara Hart along with Randy Conan. World Weather Incorporated says a winter storm will form over the southern plains Tuesday and move through the Midwest, Delta, and Mid-Atlantic states Wednesday into Thursday before a second system develops in the southern plains Friday into Saturday before moving into the Great Lakes in southeastern Canada Sunday and Monday. Snowfall will be the heaviest from Kansas into Minnesota and Wisconsin, where 4 to 10 inches or more are expected. The Delta, Tennessee River Basin, and northward into Kentucky and West Virginia expected to see 1 to 3 inches of rain.
Nutrien Ag Solutions principal atmospheric scientist Eric Snodgrass says the waves of winter storms and the excess moisture in the Corn Belt are beginning to impact the river systems.
If we cover the Ohio River Valley, you know, they've had between 5 and 8 inches of excess rainfall over the last 30 days, and we're about to put down another 2 to 5 inches of rain at the same location. So I've started poking around because, you know, it's getting close to the time that they're going to want to start planting. Remember, they get to plant pretty early. They're planting in mid to late March in some of those southern locations. But more importantly, I think for right now is, what is all that water doing as it kind of funnels into the tributaries and into the main river systems that are kind of tucked away in the Tennessee Valley, you know, there in the Ohio River Valley, and of course in the mid and lower Mississippi River Valley.
Snodgrass's barge traffic is already starting to be impacted by river levels.
I think there's some concern right now of some, you know, flooding while they're trying to get barge traffic going, and it's going to change the speed at which the barges can move and how much effort it takes them to move. In other words, they have to use higher horsepower when the flow is the way it is. So we might start to see some changes in basis down there. And if it goes on any longer, I'm getting really concerned, because a lot of times these widespread flood events that happen on our major river systems, they take multiple seasons to evolve. So this is going to be something that if we don't see a slowdown as we move into spring, I think we should have some major concern for the Eastern Corn Belt.
Argentina is expected to be dry today and tomorrow before rains develop Wednesday and Thursday. World Weather Incorporated says Argentina's weather conditions will remain favorable for crop production. Brazil is expected to see widely scattered beneficial rains this week, with most areas getting rain at one time or another. World Weather says bottom line is much of South America's crop growing regions will have favorable weather for crop development.
AgCentric Farm Business Management Instructor Josh Chosis says rising input costs and low commodity prices are causing cash flow challenges.
Yeah, we definitely are. I mean, we're, you know, the yields were pretty good in 2018 for our farmers, so it definitely helps when you have a pretty good history of the last 3 to 5 years have been pretty good for our Red River Valley farms. So that definitely helps, but, you know, the price outlook is still looking a little bit tough, and, you know, we still got a lot of expenses that really aren't going down. In fact, in some cases, they're going up.
And Joseph shares some ideas to help out with the cash flow.
Finding maybe some ways to save on some of our input costs, you know, if it's shopping around a little bit to get a little bit better deal. But, you know, and there's some farms that are having to look at some restructuring to try to, you know, term out some of their loan payments so they have a less per acre. To help kind of with that cash flow needs. And then, you know, just the idea of, you know, doing a better job marketing. I got to work with Randy Zimmerman from West Central, also spoke, and just talking with the crop advisors about, you know, what are some possible potential target areas for grains. And, you know, picking up 5-10 cents here a bushel, you know, can be the difference between making a profit or barely breaking even or even losing money.
Spring is getting closer, and local farmers are making planting decisions. Castleton, North Dakota farmer Joe Morgan plans to grow more corn this year.
We have a couple fields that we can flip-flop around, but right now they're penciled to corn, and I'll be surprised if it changes by May.
Some decisions weighing on what happens in the trade discussions between the U.S. and China. Morgan says local growers are meeting with bankers trying to determine how to move forward.
Everybody, I think, is pretty well booked up with what they want in beans and corn. But if the things don't square away by May 1, I think if fields are ready in April, you're going to see a lot of corn run in, and beans are going to take a hit here in North Dakota.
The Aberdeen Ag Expo kicks off at noon tomorrow with a full lineup of speakers and a full trade show. Red River Farm Network affiliate KMOM General Manager Devin Rentz says it's 3 big days at the Ramcota Event Center.
It's a farm show we've been putting on the last, I think, 10 or 11 years. kicks off tomorrow, Tuesday the 19th at noon. Go from noon to 6. Then we go from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on the 20th and 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on February the 21st. A ton of vendors that fill up the Aberdeen Ram Coda Convention Center, and then also a great line of speakers as well.
South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson will also be attending the show Wednesday.
U.S. Representative Dusty Johnson is going to be there. He's going to be in town opening up his local office here, and he wanted to come over and make sure he had a chance to sit down and talk to the area farmers and ranchers about the new farm bill that was out and any other concerns that they had.
Earlier this year, USDA awarded trade promotion funds as part of the trade mitigation effort. The American Soybean Association received the largest allocation, almost $22 million. The North Dakota Soybean Council Executive Director Stephanie Sinner says those funds are being used to promote U.S. soybeans to existing and new customers.
North Dakota, being the west coast of soybeans for the U.S., we are the closest supplier to some of those biggest markets, so Philippines, Taiwan, Indonesia, Vietnam. Countries we've been marketing to and selling soybeans with for many years, but now they have access to more soybeans because China isn't swallowing them all up. So silver lining to that, we've been able to supply some more additional markets, and we've seen orders from those markets increase, but we are still sitting on a lot of soybeans that need to move.
Sinner says building good trade relationships take time.
We just had, we've had producers in quite a few countries already this year doing some meeting up with trade teams over there and meeting with our buyers and talking about U.S. and North Dakota soy. So it takes time, but we've been investing in those markets for many years, and so we're starting to see those orders come, and we're excited about that.
Don't forget, you can find out more about the Red River Farm Network radio affiliates. Listen to this broadcast and more on your phone. Just bookmark rrfn.com. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Monday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The United States and Canada have submitted a counter-notification to the World Trade Organization's Committee on Agriculture on India's market price support for five pulse crops. The U.S.-Canada says India has substantially underreported its market price support for chickpeas, pigeon peas, black map, mung beans, and lentils, which are in violation of World Trade Organization rules.
Acres and Shares owner Jason Menke says a small amount of American Crystal shares are trading hands.
Last week, 52 shares sold between $34.75 and $3,500. Average price just a shade over $34.75 per share. For the trading season, which typically runs from fall till spring, there have been little under 2,800 shares that have sold for about an average price of a little over $3,300 per share.
He says, putting it in perspective, there has not been a lot of shares trading hands.
You know, I was looked at an average year of probably being 2,000 to 3,000 shares. Now that there's three brokerage firms that are trading shares, I'm not really too sure what that average is. But when you look at the big picture of having roughly a half million outstanding shares of the American Crystal, it's a very small percentage of activity.
The off-target movement of dicamba was a hot topic at last week's Weed Science Society of America annual meeting. The academic community cited volatility as a major contributor to off-target damage. Environmental conditions like warm, humid weather and temperature inversions made volatility more likely. University of Arkansas weed scientist Jason Norsworthy also discussed the possibility of atmospheric loading, which is a situation where large amounts of dicamba are sprayed in a short period of time. Norsworthy made a comparison to smog in Los Angeles. Northeast Arkansas, the boot heel of Missouri, and western Tennessee were highlighted as areas with atmospheric loading of dicamba.
The U.S. EPA will hold a public hearing on the newly proposed Waters of the United States rule later this month in Kansas City, Kansas. The proposed regulation replaces the 2015 Obama-era WOTUS rule, which increased EPA's authority over various waters and fields and ditches next to them. A 60-day comment period for the proposed rule is open, and comments are due April 15th.
USDA's National Ag Statistics Service offices will be sending out farmer surveys for the several reports, including the planting intentions and quarterly hogs and pigs reports, later this week. North Dakota State statistician Darren Jancy says his office has been playing catch-up since the government shutdown.
Yeah, it's been kind of a scramble, but I know there's been a lot of some late nights working and trying to get things caught up, but we're staying on top of them for the most part and trying to get those things out. And, you know, obviously there were so many things that were delayed that, you know, we weren't able to do them kind of all within a week time frame. You know, there's some things that it's spread out over a couple months of when those different reports are going out, just because you got to kind of spread it out. So you just don't get overwhelmed.
And Jancy says his office is making progress.
It's probably better now than what it was the first week that we came back, because it was kind of one of those things where, you know, we had to see what dates, you know, we could put it out, what resources were going to be available to get things put out. Can we meet that time frame to say, okay, if we get it out on this time frame, along with everything else that we're working on just currently with our normal time frame, can we get those things that were delayed, can we get them out on time?
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz announced new funding to fight chronic wasting disease in wild deer. The proposal includes $4.57 million in the next two fiscal years and $1.1 million annually after that to more accurately track and respond to disease detections. The plan includes $208,000 in 2020 and $529,000 in 2021 to the Board of Animal Health to improve monitoring and practices surrounding farm-raised deer.
Jenny Hopkinson is the new Senior Government Relations Representative for the National Farmers Union. Most recently, Hopkinson was an agricultural policy analyst for the Congressional Research Service. And from 2013 to 2017, she covered ag issues for Politico. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. To celebrate youth in agriculture and agricultural education during the National FFA Week, the Red River Farm Network is highlighting the success stories of former FFA members from Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. Former Newell FFA South Dakota member Tyler Swan says serving as a 2012-2013 state FFA officer was an incredible experience. A chance to learn more about different FFA members and how they make the organization their own.
We learned that there's so many ways that students can get involved with FFA, whether it's a production background that they're looking at or if they're going into journalism or any sort of sales. There's so much hands-on real world tie-in with FFA, and it was just awesome to see.
The CBH cooperative agronomist tells the Red River Farm Network a rangeland judging contest sparked his interest in working with plant science, also with farmers. He continues to work with FFA members, coaching rangeland judging teams and chaperoning state FFA convention visits. He encourages current FFA members to get involved as much as possible in the FFA.
So that you can get that background experience, and hopefully you can try a bunch of things when you're in high school and figure out what you really want to do then, so that basically it can save you so much time and expenses in college.
Red River Farm Network's National FFA Week coverage is sponsored by the Minnesota Agricultural Education Leadership Council, Corteva Agriscience, Proceed, Bayer, and Nutrien. Follow the Red River Farm Network's National FFA Week coverage on Twitter at RRFN and Facebook. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Kara Hart for the Red River Farm Network.
U.S. and Chinese trade talks are expected to continue this week in Washington, D.C. Over the weekend, President Trump met with U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer, Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross, White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney, and White House Trade Advisor Peter Navarro at his estate in Florida. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow joined the conversation by phone. Trump tweeted the negotiations last week in Beijing were very productive. Chinese President Xi Jinping also voiced optimism, telling the Chinese news agency that important progress had been made.
President Trump has said the U.S. may push back the deadline for the tariff increase for Chinese products, tariffs scheduled to increase from 10% to 25% on March 1st. Taking a look at the farm calendar, markets are closed today for the holiday. AMPI annual meeting underway in Bloomington, Minnesota. Tomorrow, Nutrient Management Conference underway in St. Cloud, Minnesota. The Aberdeen Ag Expo underway in Aberdeen, South Dakota. This is the Red River Farm Network.